I want to talk to you tonight about the living faith of a dying thief. Luke 23, verse 39. Luke 23, verse 39. So this is a, I guess this would be considered a deathbed confession. Not that I would rely on something like that in my life, but it happened to this fella. And this thief, crucified with Jesus Christ, he's literally within a couple of hours of death, and his faith is, he overcomes several obstacles in this. That's what I want to preach to you tonight about, some of the obstacles the thief overcame. But let's read these verses. Luke chapter 23, verse 39. While Jesus is crucified, the Bible says this, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, 'If thou be Christ, save thyself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss.' And he said unto Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.' And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst." Let's pray, and I'll give you three things tonight about the living faith of a dying thief. Father, I thank you, first of all, for salvation in Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for the sins of the folks in here. And Lord, those that are saved, I imagine they are very grateful for your death on the cross for them. Father, I thank you for these words. And I really pray we could get what we need out of this tonight. It's not a long, at least I don't have a bunch of notes here. And just, you know how I'm feeling and all that kind of stuff. I pray that folks that came would get something from this. I pray you'd bless each soul for being here. I pray that you would feed your flock tonight. Lord, help those that are sick. I know Barry, sounds like he's feeling a little bit better. Thank you for that. I pray you'd give them safety as they travel up to Houston this week and make some of these appointments. And I pray you give the doctors wisdom and heal him up. And Lord, for Sam, who's sick, I pray that you'd heal up his body. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so there are, I'm going to give you three things tonight about this thief. He is, there's two thieves when Jesus Christ is crucified. He's got two thieves on either side of him. And for a while during the crucifixion, both of them are mocking Jesus Christ. And they do it for a while. The jeers, the condemnation of the religious leaders, they're gathering around and making fun. And I mean, it's just a horrible sight to see. I mean, it would just be a horrible sight to see. But during all this, during the crucifixion, one of the thieves has a change of heart. And I don't know exactly why. I don't know what it was that made him change his mind. Just watching the way Jesus Christ died, I'm sure, had an effect on him. Hearing the things he said, I'm sure, had an effect on him. And he changes his mind, and Luke records the change of heart here. And he explains that you got one malefactor on one side making fun and mocking. It says railed on him and tempting him, "Thou be the Christ, get off the cross." and get us off the crosses too, and all that stuff. And then the other thief says, "Look, we got what we deserve. This is what we deserve." And this man here, he hasn't done anything, yet he is crucified with us. And so that thief, there are some things that thief overcame, and they're very instructive for us. And in his faith, in his trusting Jesus Christ, like I said, it's a deathbed confession. He's within an hour or so of his own death. And Jesus Christ says, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." But the first thing of the three I want you to notice is this. He overcame the voice of his companion. So both of them, like I said, are making fun of Jesus Christ. And the other fella continues to make fun of him. He continues to mock. He continues to egg him on. I mean, even in his dying condition, it's amazing with the body, the mind, the soul of a person, the acting out, the behavior of a person like that, in that condition, still acting out, still mocking, still making fun. And here's this other thief, and he's listening to all this, but he overcomes the voice of his companion. How is that instructive? Well, for you and me, there are probably some voices that we would do well to not listen to, and probably some voices in our lives that get us in trouble, and some voices in our lives that if we were to listen to would lead us in the wrong direction. I mean, you guys, there are so many mouths out there saying things. I am so glad I have a Bible that I can read and I can trust and I can believe, and I don't have to wonder whether what I'm reading is real or not real. And I can take this Bible, the Word of God, and judge all the other voices. And so here's this thief. He listens to the voice of Jesus Christ, and he ignores the voice of his companions. Some of you guys, your companions are the ones that get you in trouble. You listen to them, and they lead you away from God, and they lead you away from Jesus Christ, and you keep ending up in the same problems because you keep listening to the same people. So the first thing he does is he overcomes the voice of his companion. And that's in the position he's in. I think that is an incredible testament, really, to his faith. I mean, he has some incredible faith. You may not think of the thief on the cross as having incredible faith, but when you go through the things that he overcomes on the cross, he really does. He really overlooks and ignores a lot of things going on. First of all, he overcomes the voice of his companion. The second thing he overcomes, verses 40 and 41, he overcomes the vileness of his own condition. I've never seen anyone crucified, but I imagine that's a horrible sight to watch. I don't know if you have or haven't. I don't know what you've seen in your life. Here's this thief being crucified. I don't know if he's been tortured before he's been crucified. I don't know. But he's in this condition of judgment, of condemnation, of helplessness, of really looks like hopelessness. And his condition is essentially, you know, you're a criminal. That's what you are. And now you're dying for your criminal activity. You're just a criminal. But he overcomes the vileness of his own condition in that he looks to Jesus Christ and he says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Meaning, whatever's going on here right now, I know there's more to this than this. I know there's more to life than what I'm looking at right now. I know there is not only more to life, but he knows Jesus Christ is some kind of a king of something. And not just something, his kingdom is bigger than what's going on now. And so he sees Jesus Christ, He says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus Christ says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. This thief overcomes the vileness of his own condition. And here's a couple thoughts on that. Just some people think to come to Jesus Christ, I need to come to Jesus Christ in a clean state. Jesus Christ is the one that does the cleaning. He's the one that does the cleaning. And he came to save sinners. He wasn't looking for righteous people going about who were set on their own righteousness, who believed their own press and things like that. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. So your qualification for being saved is you've got to be a sinner. Now, if you don't realize or don't accept you're a sinner, then you're not qualified to be saved. The qualification for getting saved is, hey, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. He overcame the vileness of his own condition. Third thing, and this is the last one. I told you to be short. He overcame the vulnerability of Jesus Christ. Now, this one is a... this would be tough, and this would probably be the toughest one, I think. He's looking at Jesus Christ who is dying on a cross. And he's thinking in his mind, this thief is thinking, you know what? This man is a king. Now, how that goes through someone's mind, I don't know. But it went through his mind for some reason. And he looks at Jesus Christ and he ignores the fact that this man is dying on a cross. And so the decision to put your trust in someone who is vulnerable, it doesn't make a lot of sense. It doesn't make a lot of sense that he would say, all right, well, it would make more sense that he would put his trust in the people who aren't dying. Instead of looking to this man who's dying on a cross with him and saying, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He overcomes the vulnerability of Christ. How could this man be the Son of God and look like this in this condition? How could this man be a king and look like this in this condition? And I think sometimes the decisions of faith, they require us to overcome the vulnerability of Jesus Christ in a broader scope, where it looks like if I put my trust in Jesus Christ, it exposes me to certain vulnerabilities that I'm not willing to expose myself to. But then when you realize your condition, this man's about to die, you can also say, what have I got to lose? I mean, that's him. When you recognize the condition you're in. Now, I mean, that may not be a good reason to trust Jesus Christ, but he looks at Jesus Christ, he sees vulnerability, and I think sometimes faith looks like vulnerability. Here's the Israelites. God sends the Israelites out of Egypt, sends them to the coast of the Red Sea. Now, that doesn't look like victory at all. That looks like we're all dead. Here's the Egyptian army. Here's the coast. We're stuck. What do we do? And what it is now it's an opportunity for God to do something that you never thought he would ever do. I mean, it's a chance for God to be much bigger than your own thoughts about God. And so here's the Israelites, they come up to the coast, and in their minds, and in anybody's minds, you're thinking, you know what, this following God thing has really put us in a bind. Whereas, actually, it hasn't put you in a bind, you just feel like you're in a bind. And so, going back to this thief, he looks at Jesus Christ, he sees someone dying, and he sees vulnerability, he sees weakness. And in all that, he overcomes all that, and he says, you know what? This man is a king. This man is the Son of God, and I am trusting in this man. I am ignoring, I don't understand why he's dying. I don't understand any of the things going on. He doesn't look like he's powerful at this time, but I think and I believe he is. I believe he's going to do something else. I believe this isn't the end of his life. I believe he has a kingdom somewhere. And so he puts his trust in Jesus Christ, maybe not knowing the whole story and understanding all the things that are happening, but he puts his trust in Jesus Christ, and he overcomes the apparent vulnerability of Jesus Christ. I hope that makes sense. I mean, he's looking at Jesus Christ. If anybody at that time, you take a look at something that's weak, it looks weak, it appears weak. And I mean, that's even what God said he would do. I will take the weak things of this world, and take the foolish things of this world and confound the wise. And the point is, God is going to be bigger than the flesh. He's going to be bigger than my mind can comprehend. And this thief, he overcomes the vulnerability of Jesus Christ. And I'll say, I mean, again, faith often looks like vulnerability. What do they say? You take a step of faith or something like that. I mean, when you decide I'm gonna follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and that means I'm gonna have to cut ties with this and this and this, and all these things I'm cutting ties with, I thought were my support structure. All this stuff I thought was what's keeping me going. But the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, go this way and make a break with this. And so it looks like I'm taking a step in a more vulnerable position. I mean, I hope that makes sense. And so faith looks like a vulnerable thing. It looks like a weak thing oftentimes, but it never ends up that way. So three things about this faith, this living faith of this dying thief. Number one, he overcame the voice of his companion. And really, he overcame the voice of a lot of companions. There were a lot of people making fun of Jesus Christ that day. And he overcame all those voices. And maybe in your life, you would do well to overcome some voices and start listening to Jesus Christ a little bit more. Overcame the voice of his companion. Second thing, he overcame the vileness of his own condition. Hanging on a cross, hopeless, looks hopeless, takes a look at himself, he's guilty, he's condemned, but then you realize, you know what, Jesus Christ came to save sinners, so what qualifies you to be saved is you need to be a sinner. But if you won't be a sinner, which you already are, when I say you won't be, I mean you won't admit you're a sinner. If you won't admit that, then you're not qualified to be saved. I'll ask kids, I mean, when talk to kids or anybody, not just kids, anybody. The one thing, or at least one thing, I want folks to be clear on is, what are you being saved from? Because Jesus Christ is not someone to add on to all of your other gods that you got going on. Jesus Christ isn't something you just throw in the mix. Hey, you know, I got this one, I got this one. Yeah, I'll just throw in Jesus with the mix. That's not, he's not an idol like that. He's the Savior. And he doesn't share glory with other idols. And so he's not something to just add on. It is Jesus Christ will either be the one that saves you from hell, or he won't be the one that saves you from hell. Either he's the one that died for you, or he's not the one that died for you. He overcame the vileness of his own condition, and then lastly, he overcame the vulnerability of Christ, which there's probably a lot more to be said about that, but I would say faith often looks like a very vulnerable, weak position. Even the world, they misplace or they misunderstand They misunderstand kindness for weakness sometimes. They misunderstand forgiveness for weakness. They misunderstand love for weakness. They misunderstand faith for ignorance. That's the world. They look at the Christian, and the Christian doesn't make sense, just looks weak, just looks impotent, just looks pathetic, things like that. This thief overcomes the vulnerability of Christ. Here's Jesus Christ dying on a cross, and like I said, he probably doesn't understand all of the doctrine and all the stuff that's going on here. But he knows that man on that cross is the Son of God, and he has a kingdom. And this death is not the end of that man. And so he looks at Jesus Christ and he says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus Christ says, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." He overcame the vulnerability of Jesus Christ. So those three things really, I think, describe the living faith of a dying thief. We'll go ahead and pray. I'll pray for the food and we'll get out of here. Father, thank you so much for your words. I pray, Lord, this is helpful. Father, I pray that we take these words and all the way from what we heard in Sunday school and church tonight, just pray that you could use what's been said today. I pray you'd use the tracts that went out yesterday and the preaching that was done and the signs, Lord, that folks had. I pray that you'd use your words to minister to Christians and, Lord, see lost folks get saved. Trust Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. I thank you for your words. I thank you for the food that you provided for us tonight. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.